This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Are you a bartender that dreads the phrase, "Hey, can you put the game on?" At Sports on What, we understand your pain and we're here to help. Over the air, satellite, cable, or streaming, Sports on What knows what channel the game is on and you can too. Follow your favorite teams, set alerts, and filter by provider to get the results you need. Stop wasting time searching and never miss kickoff again. Just download the Sports on What app and you'll always know how to watch the game. Available for Android and iOS. Start your 7-day free trial when you download Sports on What and subscribe today.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Once again, we are doing it live as KISW proudly presents Live Night this year around Showbox Soto Friday night, yeah. December the 13th. Yeah. Everything live. You will be a part of the live studio audience.
Mm-hmm.
Play a little big dummy like we did here today. Test your knowledge.
Or lack thereof.
In front of a room full of people. Yeah, maybe a little Ted versus the FCC. Of course, we will drink and toast live with a shot.
Naturally.
And the Barbershop Quartet will be there. Everything you see will be broadcast on these very airwaves. Everything. Commercials, all the music during the commercials, the songs that are played in between the sets. Everything is live. It is one big live high wire act. And we are doing it this year at Showbox Soto, which is a great venue. So hopefully you can get a ticket now. Tickets, by the way, they start at just $35.
That ain't bad at all, man.
So join us for that little party.
It's not so many people it takes to actually pull this off. Right? You don't think about it. We're sitting here, everything's computerized, just press a button, things happen. And then when you recreate the same thing and you need people, I want to say 1 year it was upwards of like 90 people.
And the Foley artist, he's the guy who does all the sound effects.
Yeah.
He's got one of the most amazing jobs. I'm mesmerized by this guy because he brings in a table of all kinds of different things to make different live sounds
but it's just,
on the
be
fly.
Like a slinky, an egg. I mean, it's just crazy.
A saw to make a certain sound, or you know, thunder, or whatever it is. So it's a great night. And if you've never been, just get a ticket now. KISW.com. Guarantee you're gonna have a good time. We got the Men's Room IPA there and the big yellow can.
Big yellow can, baby.
So get on that. Okay, let's see. We got the head chef coming up in just minutes with Ted's Meat and Potatoes, all about those sides. But first time for a few emails from the Men's Room at KISW.com.
You've got mail.
Oh, hola, naked ladies. Today is our daughter Carly's 9th birthday, and she would love a shout-out from you guys. Could she please get a cat giving birth, a couple kid-friendly dad jokes from Miles, and Mike's bitter, battered gibberish? Thank you, bitches. You rock. That from Chris, Cassandra, Calvin, and Corbin in Oak Harbor. That is a hell of a lot of C's. Let's see here. I think this is the... Man. All right. Kid-friendly dad jokes. Here you go. All right, Carly. What did the alpaca say to his date?
I don't know.
I'm a...
Want to go on a picnic? Alpaca lunch.
A little cannibalism there,
yeah. Why do seagulls fly over the sea?
Because if they flew over the bay, they'd be bagels.
That is correct, yes. All right, Carly, see if you can get this one. What is a dolphin's favorite country to live in?
Got it. It's in Europe. Northern Europe, come on.
Is it part of
Finland?
The UN?
Finland. Get it?
They got fins.
Yeah, dolphins.
I thought it was whales.
It's a fin joke.
Oh, hey, all right, not bad.
Fins up.
Hello, Jules. Can you wish my sister-in-law, Christina, a wonderful 50th birthday? Truly a wonderful woman because she puts up with my brother's dumbassness. So could you please give her a little turtle wax with a Leroy Jenkins in the middle? Love you, sis. That from Jamie the driver.
Leroy!
He's got quite the fetish.
Leroy Jenkins!
Gentlemen, I want to wish my dad, Mike, a very happy 62nd birthday. He is the best father a guy could ask for. Could I get some dad jokes for Miles? The Dirty Germans talking about drinking beer and Coach Ted's prediction on the rest of the Seahawks season. Thanks, guys. You're the best. That from his son, Brandon. Okay, let's see what I got. Dad jokes. What do you call an Italian hooker? What do you call an Italian hooker?
Damn, what?
Man, I don't know, a gabagool?
A prostitute.
Okay.
The one I told
earlier.
I thought
that's when you fart after eating spaghetti.
Yeah. What do you call a man with a 2-inch penis? You guys remember
Justin. That, okay?
Justin.
I'd also heard 10.
That was 3,
that
dude.
That was 3. All right, yeah.
Bear What's ball. A stripper's favorite brand of car? It's a newer one.
Teslas.
No. Close. Polestar.
I know what a Polestar is.
Oh, it's electric, I believe.
Yeah,
there's not a ton of them on the road.
I think it's an Amazon thing, maybe. Or maybe not.
I don't know. I've seen like one or two around my neighborhood.
They look sharp.
Oh, yeah, he wanted us to talk about drinking beer. Yes, you know, in Deutschland, we often drink beer out of the boot. Tonight in your company, we will drink the beer out of the butt.
Yeah, but I'm like,
Yeah, beer butt.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, so, you know, in some countries, they call us a butt funnel.
Yeah, butt funnel. We'll be butt funneling all day.
Mike, you remember that one? There was an attorney that had to come out for a kid, I think, at FSU or Florida. I'm like, my client to not participate in
butt chugging or whatever.
God. All right, let's talk Little Hawks, all right? Now listen, nice win last weekend. Coach did not see that one coming. I was resigned to the fact that the Niners own us. Now you got the Cardinals coming into town. The whole division, I can't tell if the whole division sucks or we're all pretty good. Keep Kyler Murray in the pocket, you could win that game, but then we go play the Jets. Then the Cardinals again. The really tough one is you still have the Packers and the Vikings on the menu. On the menu. Schedule. Either way, I think Seahawks going a little heater here. Get 3 in a row. Sneak in the playoffs.
Okay. Bold prediction. All right, guys. Happy birthday, and here you go.
Happy, happy, happy birthday. Happy, happy, happy birthday. Happy, happy, happy birthday to you, to you, to you.
Yaws of Dirty Germans brought to you by Men's Room Original Sausage. Available through Uli's World Famous Sausage, mensroomlive.com, and other fine retailers. Schweinefly.
Time to open wide and sample Ted's meat. And potatoes. Now, here's your host, head chef of the Men's Room, the Ted Nugent.
Head chef in the house.
Thank you, folks. Thank you. Like the way they title this article, polling upset.
Polling upset, all right.
Yeah. It's like, well, sometimes the polls are wrong, dude.
Yeah.
Let's see. Basically, Campbell's Soup every year goes out there. They do a little poll. They want to see, hey, what's people's favorite side dishes?
All right.
Obviously, don't forget, Campbell's Soup invented the green bean casserole.
Yep.
They were looking to push cans of cream of mushroom.
I don't think they even knew how well that ended up working out for them.
Especially this time of year, you probably think that 90% of their yearly sales go to this holiday, right?
Yeah, I mean, like Mike and I talk about, they've done a good job with that chunky brand.
Sure.
Of being like soup, you know, that
soup
you're going to eat.
Man,
they got cream of broccoli, cream of all kinds of other stuff.
But Miles, right, you're not wrong. And casseroles thrive on the Campbell's company.
Absolutely.
Right? Like I make this cracked tater tot dish.
Cracked tater tot dish.
It is so good.
Is it cream of mushroom soup as well?
It's cream of cracked. I mean, it's in the name.
It's cream of chicken.
Oh, okay. All
right. So I'm saying, they got a lot of stuff there. So, yeah. So Campbell's obviously wants to know, what is the biggest side dish out there? Also, some facts, 56% of people say eating side dishes over turkey.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, totally.
38% said, I could eat just the sides. I don't need the turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And then 60% of them said they enjoy cooking the sides more than the main bird.
Well, because the bird, you like, just you put it in the oven, and then for hours, you're not doing anything.
But again, I do think technology has come a long way, and people are just kind of smarter about ways to cook turkey now. Now, listen, right, I grew up, you cook it in the oven. It was always just kind of bland, and yeah, we get dry. Like, you had to baste it. Right, exactly. But over the years, you know, now look, if you look at soul food and stuff, that's the only place that really you'll see turkey legs and turkey wings.
Yep.
But they are cooking that stuff low and slow for hours. Now the people, you know, I'm sure in the South or whatever, people were smoking turkeys. But now that you got these Traegers out there, you know, pellet fed stuff, like people can, you can literally put it out there and just kind of set it and you don't have to sweat it. So turkey to me is
trying to make a run.
And I'll tell you something else, man. If you don't have any of those gadgets, you don't have a smoker, you don't have enough propane to, you know, spatchcock it and stick it out there for a while, whatever you do. A beer can turkey, as long as it's not, you know, 20-pound bird.
I've had your beer can turkey.
You drink half of a tall boy.
Delicious.
Yeah. Stick it up the gut, man. And, I mean, it stays moist on the inside. The skin was actually good on that one.
I would also tell people a big game changer to me that my buddy James did. I think it was like 10 years ago. I said, what did you do? And he was like, dude.
Dropped it on the floor.
He put it in a brine.
Oh, Castle does that.
Right? So you put that in the brine, and then you're right. You don't have to stuff the cavity. You could throw in some aromatics, you know, some celery, this or that. And it comes out great. So I think also people nowadays with technology, I think a lot of us know more cooking techniques that used to just be for cooks and chefs and kitchens.
Just some the people, internet alone. Yeah,
some people inject them. They have all those injectables.
I've never done that. That deep fried is still the best.
Deep fried turkey is pretty hard to eat
once. I've never had it.
It's hard to do here just because of the weather, right? You get one drop of rain, right, and you got a different situation. But we were in Texas. This was not Thanksgiving. This was Christmas. And one of my 8,000 relatives there did a deep fried turkey. And, I mean, there's no going back.
Is that what Popeyes does?
Yeah.
They do a deep fried turkey. It is a deep fried turkey.
Yeah.
But you probably needed to order that already. I'm guessing.
Yeah, you probably not.
Yeah, I mean, they've had the signs up for a minute. You got to pre-order them. I know... Somebody I know tried to order one like 3 or 4 days ahead of time, and they just laughed him off the phone. Like, are you serious? Like, come on. But yeah, they deep fry it, and then I want to say they flash freeze it or something, so it shows up. When you get it, you basically just have to reheat it, but it very much holds that flavor and taste of it. So mashed potatoes for years was number one. Not this year. Stuffing takes the number one spot.
Look that way in our poll today, too.
Followed by mashed potatoes, then sweet potatoes, green bean casserole, and mac and cheese.
Okay, I don't want to die on this one, on this hill, but when you go to a restaurant and get mashed potatoes, sometimes they'll do smashed red potatoes, sometimes they'll do garlic mashed potatoes. I just like really good Idaho potatoes that are whipped up with salt, pepper, butter, and a little bit of... I agree.
I want fluffy.
I don't need the mashed potatoes to kind of like be different than normal, so to speak.
But technically smashed potatoes is just
smashed
that.
Potatoes, smashed potatoes. That's exactly it.
Right? It has kind of that crisp on the end.
Yeah.
But you're right. Mashed potato... you can tell I like a smashed potato. Mashed potatoes should be, you're right, homemade, not too lumpy, but also don't make it too soupy as well.
Yep. Some people struggle with that. By some people, I mean me.
And back to what you were saying about your leftover sandwiches, which are the best, especially if you have like Hawaiian rolls or something like that.
Texas toast.
Man, when you make just potato pancakes in the morning.
Yep.
Put one of those on a sandwich with the turkey and the stuffing and the gravy.
Right.
And I mean, that is a game changer.
And you know, like, I think everybody has bread you keep in your house or bread you eat or bread you get for the family. But yeah, around Thanksgiving, man, that's the one time where like I'll get Texas toast. Or, like, what's the one brand? And it's, like, buttermilk, this or that.
Yeah, bread. I like potato.
Just for the sandwich.
I like potato rolls,
you're right.
Too.
It's time to switch up your bread game just to the leftovers you're going to eat for the 3 days after Thanksgiving.
The other funny thing is kind of sweet potatoes. Like, I grew up, you had sweet potatoes, and then it was either, do you want big marshmallows or small marshmallows? Mm-hmm. But then I've had other people make candied yams, I guess, kind of with pineapple and something else.
I've had that before,
too. That was really good. But the new thing, the photo they have here that I've had the last few years, is people just mash them up, and they're almost like whipped sweet potatoes. The marshmallow's still in there, so it has the same flavor, but the consistency's different. It's pretty good.
My wife started doing that, right? But she's not a big sweet potato fan. She knows that I am. I think my son likes them. I can't remember because it's once a year that we do it. But yeah, she started kind of whipping them up with all the sweet stuff in there, man. So the consistency, it's almost like eating pudding.
Yeah.
But
pretty
it's
well,
delicious
brown sugar and mushrooms.
Dude,
it's not complicated.
Mushrooms? Yeah. Marshmallows.
Sorry, I said mushrooms.
Mushrooms.
And Miles, delicious. You were asking earlier about making stuff a little fancier. Like, I think most people like the green bean casserole to taste like that, but you can fancy it up. One of my friends, Brenda, she makes homemade rolls, which there's so many good rolls out there, but I can't explain it to you. These rolls are unbelievable.
Are they the three little pieces where you pull them apart?
They're like this big.
Oh, wow.
And you got you could eat, but I mean, I love the roll to dip in gravy and stuff. Like, man, that homemade roll is so good. It's like, you could just eat the roll.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I'm going to do this year. I'm going to go to Izell's a couple days before up on 45th in Wallingford and buy
rolled.
Six rolls just so I have good rolls.
All right, here's some other kind of interesting stats about Thanksgiving and the sides. Out here in the West, they say people tend to add smoky flavors and savory herbs.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense.
All right, this won't shock you. In the Midwest, they add cheese to stuff, again, and savory herbs. Thrill, you talked about your mother-in-law makes a oyster stuffing. Northeast, sweet, savory seafood and maple syrup gets added to stuff.
Damn. Yep, there you go. It's Pennsylvania.
What about the mac and cheese generation? I know families that swear by that on Thanksgiving.
I think it's a great idea.
Making a pan of macaroni and cheese as well.
Let's just call it what it is. Like, mac and cheese for soul food has always been a part of that.
Right.
And then
Always,
right. So then over the years, as mac and cheese got kind of gentrified, mm-hmm. and everybody started making it and doing this and that, you know, it kind of went away from soul food. Now everybody's like, I make a mac and cheese. So now I feel like it's like an American staple.
Right.
But for me growing up, like, some houses had it. Some did. So I didn't grow up having mac and cheese, but I don't think I've been to a Thanksgiving the last 5 or 6 years where there wasn't mac and cheese.
Because people will say, if they're coming over for dinner at your place, you know, can I bring anything?
Yeah.
Like, look, I've got most of everything taken care of. But if you want mac and cheese,
and
you're good at it, and that's what you need and that's what you want, bring that, man, because that's the one thing that I just don't have time to do and never get around to it. So I've had mac and cheese been brought over to my place. I'm like, man, I need to start making mac and cheese. It's just even two spoonfuls. You know, it's so good. Dude,
we probably do it once a month. One of us gets a hair up our ass, and it's a little bit of a pain in the ass to make it if you do the roux and all that kind of thing, but it's always worth it in the end. The kitchen's messy. I'm kind of sick of making it, and it takes forever to cook, and then I take my first bite, and I'm like, we need to do this again and do it soon.
People who brought it over last time had beer cheese in it, basically.
Sounds great.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of mac and cheese, 45% of Gen Z, they can't get enough of it.
All right, good.
Yeah. I mean,
raised younger generation. You're raised on it.
Filling,
well, also, again, it has shown up places. You know, it's kind of like meatloaf, right? Like, I grew up, we ate meatloaf like once a week, but it was kind of a meal you could afford and put together.
That's
that got fancy, like mac and cheese.
Yeah, if you have like a meatloaf sandwich on your menu, there's a very good chance I'm going to order it.
Yeah.
I am yet to be disappointed.
Or meatloaf sliders, where they put them on the grill.
Yeah.
And my mom, we always had, for some reason, if there was leftover meatloaf, she would kind of heat it up, but then you always had to eat it on toast.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that, man.
59% of baby boomers stick to their traditional stuffing and, like, mashed potatoes. I mean, you could say boomers, but I'll be honest with you. At this point, like, my mom's 80. I'm not even flying her out here. I don't like her traveling by herself. But, like, hey, your parents in your 80, man. Start cooking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
are they doing a dinner at her place, I guess?
She's going to go down to my brother's house.
Okay.
Which should be interesting. It's my sister's taking her. But the building she lives in is, I'm sure there are. Like, she's lucky enough, she's still very close to family, but I'm sure there's other people in that building that maybe don't. And look, I'll tell you what, man, sometimes I'm jealous of what she's doing. I'm like, you want to switch?
Right.
I'll live in your building with the other seniors for a while. Yeah. Is there a happy hour?
Three square meals.
Yeah, but I'll eat dinner at 4:30. Like, well, I don't care.
Lights out at 8.
Whatever. They got a bingo night. They're doing game
nights.
Now
that you've rediscovered your bingo love.
It's basically like a bar menu, you know, for the entertainment.
It kind of is.
Right? I like pudding. This has nothing to do with Thanksgiving. But if you want to do it, you got to get on it quick, all right? McDonald's announced the McRib is back December 3rd. If your favorite part of it is the barbecue sauce, well, good news. They're going to sell it by the gallon. Technically a half gallon.
God. Now, is anyone clamoring for this? I mean, is it the same?
They're going to find out.
What's the difference between that and the barbecue sauce that you get with your nuggets, you know? Shouldn't it be the same, like McDonald's barbecue sauce?
You know, honestly, you'd be shocked how much time goes into those test kitchens.
So I bet they specifically were like, it's got to be different than the barbecue sauce we put in there. Like, look, we always talk about back in the day, like Burger King had like a Western burger, but that specifically was with bullseye barbecue sauce.
Yep.
Now they got a maple bourbon barbecue whopper.
Yeah. Whole lot of McRibSauce.com. Monday at 7 a.m. They don't have a bunch of them. It's $20. But if you want or need a half gallon of McRib barbecue sauce.
That's clearly a need.
Wow. Whole lot of McRibSauce.com.
Thank you, Head Chef. We appreciate it. Coming up, we'll drink and tell us for the shot of the day at 5:08. You are listening to The Men's Room.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Coming up here at 5:08, we will drink a toast with a shot of the day. And we do have your headlines on the way at 5:50. But first, quick check with Mike Hogg and some of the stories and headlines he is not working on.
Well, thank you, Miles. Mutations of the bird flu are starting to pose a risk to human health.
Cool.
Yeah.
How do you get this?
So basically, it was just saying that the different mutation is now making it easier to transmit to humans. Yeah. I'm not positive how, but
okay. It
is. Because I'm not working on it. Because I figure if I get the bird flu, I'm going to get the bird flu.
That's true.
Nothing I can do about it. I got it. New research suggests that while
bird flu.
Oh, no. New research suggests that while space travelers orbit the Earth, it may actually cause mental slowdowns.
Wait, say that again.
So, like, when astronauts go out for a spacewalk or whatever it is, apparently the vacuum of space will actually slow down your brain function just a little bit.
Huh, okay.
I'm sure it's negligible. I'm sure it's one of those where it's like, you know, they dropped an IQ point. But hey,
I don't need to be this smart. Not outside of a space vehicle.
Right. Astronauts, dumb. Mm. Yeah.
You walk out the spacewalk, come back and dumb.
Yeah, moron.
Should have gone up there, dude.
It's bad for your mental health.
Yeah.
Stupid.
I'm going to start using that. Why were your SAT scores so low? Went to space.
Went to space.
My bad.
My bad. When it comes to heart health, a new study says being physically fit is more important than how much you weigh.
Well, sure.
Which, again, kind of goes back to, like, the new age thought process when it comes to fitness is stop trying to lose weight. Stop stepping on the scale so damn much. Get yourself healthy. Don't worry. The weight will go.
Right.
But get yourself healthy.
Do that first.
Drink your water.
How often do you get on the scales?
Probably, like, once a week.
I do about every day.
Really?
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not beating myself up. I'm just like, oh, man.
Right, but every day, you can't really, you know, once a week you can keep some kind of track, right. But every day.
Well, and if you've started some sort of a fitness journey, then once a week, your weight is going to fluctuate by the day. Which is why paying attention is not the best idea, because it's not that what you did today doesn't work tomorrow. It's your health will trend downwards is what you want to start looking at.
Oh, okay. It's the other thing, it's your BMI. You know, it's like muscle weighs more than fat. So a lot of times people are working out going, I'm not losing weight. And I'm like, but I can look at you and tell that you look a lot better.
Right. Well, there's professional athletes, their BMI makes them obese.
Exactly.
Right.
Out of a bit.
Is it the bird flu?
It might be the bird flu.
You already got Vegas?
Yeah. You get bird flu in Vegas.
Well,
I got that Vegas bird flu.
I was on a handful of birds this week, so I'm over it.
I will say, you were on a few flights.
I was.
I feel like every time you get off a plane, there's something.
Yeah, man.
It is, man.
Breathing, everyone's breath.
I had a buddy that had to travel constantly for work for about 2 years. He was like, A, I don't know why everybody thinks it's so glamorous. I mean, he would sit first class.
Sucks.
But he's like, I hate it. And it's like, he's like, I'm always sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Exactly. Don't take any offense by it, but did you all shower today?
I did.
Yeah.
What if I told you that other countries might find that weird?
The Men's Room Top 10.
I think most countries do.
The Men's Room Top 10.
10 global hygiene practices that Americans might find hard to believe. Back in the good old days of the Victorian times where people were civilized, Surgeon Joseph Lister believed the best way to sterilize surgical instruments before carving you up like a Christmas ham was to put them in boiling, hot urine. In case you were wondering, Lister, could that be the same name used for the mouthwash we know and adore today? You bet your urine-soaked toothbrush it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nasty. So these are some global hygiene practices that Americans might find hard to believe. Has anybody here ever bathed outdoors?
Yeah. Once in Mexico.
Showered.
Showered, yes. Not bathed, but showered. And with that, it was more, I'm in the shower to get sand off of me.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Not full all soap and all that.
Lived in a summer place, and the outdoor shower was under the steps that went to the upstairs apartment. I was in the downstairs apartment. So both units used that shower because it was a garage. So everybody showered outside.
Right.
That was a little strange. Mosquitoes, by the way, love an outdoor shower.
That's the worst mosquito bites I've ever gotten.
That's their happy place.
If you get the right soaps,
so you don't taint the river, you can take a bar of soap and wash off of the river. Yeah. Anything biodegradable, Dr. Brommer's, whatever.
Yeah, it says in some rural or developing areas, bathing in rivers, lakes, or communal water sources is daily ritual. The idea of washing outdoors often in view of others might seem primitive or unsanitary to Americans accustomed to private indoor bathrooms. However, for many countries, these practices are a normal part of life and are done in clean, flowing water. The act of bathing in nature is also seen as a way to connect with the environment. No. Not to mention the views are going to be better.
Well, sure.
You know, it's one of those things, it's like going to the bathroom outside. Like, what a lovely day it is outside. This is relaxing.
I will say, if I'm peeing outside and it's the daytime, I do, for whatever reason, take in the nature around me.
You do.
Man, these are beautiful trees. I'm sorry I'm peeing on you.
If it's a nice night outside, like, look at the stars. It's great.
The moon is beautiful.
That's a nice breeze.
And the soundtrack is...
squat toilets. They're prevalent in many Asian countries that are viewed as a more natural and hygienic way to relieve oneself. They require the user to squat rather than sit, minimalizing contact with potentially unsanitary surfaces.
Yeah, I mean, the squatty potty took off for a little bit here.
Sure.
Once you find out, like, that's your more natural position for pooping.
Exactly.
It is easier.
I've never used one.
The squatty potty?
Yeah.
Oh, they're great.
Yeah. Are they?
Nice. Yeah.
I dig it. Sharing towels. You guys ever had to share a towel?
I've had to, but it's not
only
something
because my roommate used mine because his was a wad on the floor, and I'd go in there and dry off with my wet towel from Chad.
Yeah. I mean, that's the real issue, right? If somebody hopped out of the shower, I don't mind, but it's like, it's still damp.
Right.
So I don't feel like I'm getting dry, but I could see where people would do it.
Americans used to the concept of personal towels might view this as a breeding ground for germs. However, proponents argue that as long as the towels are properly sanitized between uses, it's a more sustainable approach than single-use paper towels.
I mean, if it is.
Right.
Your own habits. Like, I didn't really sanitize it, but go ahead and use it.
Right, if you were at my house and I only have one towel for some reason, right? Like, you showered and used it. I wouldn't wash it, but I could throw it in the dryer for 10 minutes and then be like, all right, it's fine.
Exactly. Would you guys reuse bathwater?
I would not.
In some parts of the world where water is scarce, it's not uncommon for families to reuse bathwater for multiple purposes. The same water might be used for bathing, then collected to wash clothes and or clean the home.
I mean, look, if you're water-deprived, then absolutely.
Absolutely.
We just have it good here. Right. Right? So.
Well, and we use clean water for dirty things. Like, there's no reason why the water in our toilet should be as clean as it is other than it's just visually appealing.
Correct. You know, think about what you drop in there.
Right. Other than the fact that it's in a toilet, that is potable water.
It is.
You know, so yeah.
My dog shows that every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, forgot to fill her water dish.
Why does she keep peeing in the toilet? What the hell?
I mean, I guess you're right. I never really thought about it that way.
Right.
I mean, if it was already cloudy, I guess it wouldn't make a difference. It's just in the toilet. But you're right. It would freak me out. Like, what is wrong with my toilet?
Exactly.
I need clean water to drop poop in.
And even then, I wouldn't mind scrubbing the toilet if we used dirtier water. But, like, it's there.
With clean water?
With water. Like, I'm about to destroy this thing. Like, I don't need it to be shiny nice. Other than to, sometimes I like to see just how bad I did.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. Like, nobody outside of dogs drink it out of it. But it's not like, I don't know. This is blowing my mind. You're right. And I guess it would be fine, but you would never be like, let's get some toilet water right. And do this.
One of the first times that came to my mind is when I was watching the first season of The Walking Dead years and years and years ago. You know, they're raiding houses looking for supplies and whatnot, and they grabbed a canteen and they went straight to the bathroom and opened up the toilet. I was like, huh, never actually thought about that. That's clean-ass water in there.
Yeah.
It's perfectly good water. Street food culture. Again, these are global hygiene practices that Americans might find hard to believe. Hard to believe. Street food is a way of life in many countries from Asia to Latin America. Vendors sell a variety of freshly cooked dishes from carts or stalls. While some Americans might question the hygiene standards of these outdoor kitchens, locals view street food as a delicious and integral part of their culinary culture.
And it's cheaper.
Yep.
Yeah.
A lot cheaper and usually really, really good.
And I'm not going to lie. I've been scrolling on the TikToks or the Reels or whatever, and I've seen a handful of videos where there's street food. Now, there is some street food that looks good, and then there's other street food that I don't believe I'd touch.
Sure. I mean, but you make a judgment call just like you do at the grocery store.
Sure.
You know, if you're buying produce, like, typically you're eyeing it and you make a decision. Right. But, like, every time we go to Mexico, and it's weird. It's not like they're vendors necessarily, but for no particular reason at all, three neighbors decided, let's throw some cones in the middle of our street. So they've officially blocked it, like no permit or anything. And they roll up flat tops and grills. They kind of throw an impromptu street party. But if they see you when you walk by, they encourage you to come over and eat.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give them a little something in return. But I've never been disappointed by eating strangers' food.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, Bourdain used to talk about it a lot. He's always like, oh, I'll eat street meat.
Yeah.
Listen to that. So, I mean, I think it depends on who you are and what you're eating.
Sure.
But also, to me, I feel like, especially in Asia, it looks like they're always cooking it over a fire.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And this and that. So I'm like, I mean, I like stuff with a little char on it. My issue would just be, I would just pick out meat without knowing what the meat is.
Yeah, all of a sudden they just carve it off and it's like, I don't even know what this actually is.
Right, like I said, like to me, the gamiest meat I've had was moose.
Yeah.
So if I just had a skewer of moose and I'm grilling it, you wouldn't know. But when you bit into it, you'd be like, well, this is definitely not beef.
They say eating with hands. In parts of Africa, the Middle East, and India, eating with one's hands is the traditional way to enjoy a meal. There's often specific rituals around hand washing before eating to ensure cleanliness.
If you recall, right beside Pho Bach down by the old building, Market House Meat Area, they used to have an African restaurant right between the two, and no utensils.
Okay. It was Ethiopian, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. What's the bread?
I don't know. It's my neighbor's like Ethiopian, and she's now in like an old age home, but she'd hook up me and the wife like once a month, but it's all homemade stuff. Mm-hmm. I cannot explain how good it was.
Did she say you were Ethiopian?
What's that?
Did she say you were Ethiopian?
No, she never said.
All right.
I think injera. It's like, it looks almost like spongy-like.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you like rip off pieces of that and kind of collect all the stuff or dip it in the sauce.
It is good, man.
Nice.
Yeah, I like
it. And I don't even know what I was eating. I did not care.
I like Ethiopian, but it's just tough, man. They enjoy their spice.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I mean, you don't even, it's like, at least I feel like in an Indian restaurant, they kind of go, hey, just so you know, Ethiopian, I feel like everything just comes kind of spicy.
Mm-hmm. All right. Global hygiene practices that Americans might find hard to believe. Avoiding nose blowing in public. In Japan, blowing your nose in public, especially loudly, is considered rude and unhygienic. People are expected to excuse themselves to a private area to deal with a runny nose. In contrast, Americans generally view nose blowing as a necessary bodily function that can be done discreetly in public. These different cultural norms highlight the varying perceptions of what is considered polite and sanitary. I get it.
It's not sanitary at all. We just don't care here. Right? I think we're just so used to it. I'm thinking about it. You're blowing snot in your hands. And yes, I know you have a tissue, whatever. But you're still blowing snot in your hands.
Correct. I still want whoever did it to go wash their hands immediately.
I would definitely prefer that.
I mean, I think one good thing to come out of the pandemic is people stop using their hands to cough it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? You're touching group stuff or you're shaking hands with people. Like, go ahead and use that arm or that elbow.
Brushing teeth after meals. In some countries like India, it's common to brush one's teeth after each meal, even in public restrooms.
Hmm.
And you just walk around with a toothbrush?
Yeah. We used to work with, two people. We probably still do. There's no one that actually comes to work. But
If they ate a meal here, man, they were in that bathroom brushing their teeth immediately.
Communal bathing. Nice. In countries like Japan, Korea, and Turkey, public bathhouses are a cultural tradition. Bathing is seen as a social activity to be enjoyed with others. These bathrooms have separate areas for men and women and maintain strict hygiene standards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've been to some bathhouses, but they're co-ed and stuff. I think in our country, people just, they kind of are like thrown off by bathhouses. Because right in the 70s and stuff, it was a pretty big like gay hookup scene.
Sure.
Because people, shockingly, weren't cool to gay people. But, right, like if you go to a Russian bathhouse, like the one I go to, like you're still wearing a bathing suit. There's different locker rooms.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a, it's almost.
There was a, like, for instance, when I lived on Capitol Hill, though, the gym I used to go to before it closed, like there was a bathhouse next to that one. I would not go in that one to take a shower.
Gotcha. Because
there was an understood of like, there's other stuff.
Okay.
Super clean, though. Those guys were nice.
Using bidets. Bidets common in Europe, Asia, and the Middle East are used to wash after using the toilet. Many Americans view them as unnecessary or even unsanitary, preferring toilet paper. I'm not going to lie. When we got our house, that's one of the things that I'm looking at. Like, I could probably put a bidet in here somewhere.
Dude, everyone that has a bidet or has used a bidet to a man is like, get one.
I don't think I've heard anybody say, dude, I regret getting my bidet.
No, I have not yet.
So
that'd be a weird statement. I regret getting my bidet.
And there's basic versions that don't control temperature or anything that you could buy that are pretty cheap, like $30 or $40.
Right.
And they're easy to install. But I'm with you. Every time I use a bidet, I feel filthy when I just go to my home and just use toilet paper.
I have yet to use one. I have never experienced a bidet.
Dude, there's nice ones, too, that you can control how hard it jets out, the temperature. The toughest thing about the bidet, honestly, is once it gets going, when you stand up, it'll stop. But if you're not used to it, you're kind of like, do I stand up? All right, it stops.
Removing your shoes indoors. Many Asian countries and Middle Eastern cultures, removing shoes before entering a home is a strict hygiene practice. Not to mention, just keep the doggone floors clean. Embracing natural body odor.
Oh, yeah, a lot of countries do that for sure.
Yes, they do.
I'm going to disagree with that one.
Yeah, I agree. Reusing clothes. Americans are accustomed to wearing clothes only once or twice before washing them. However, in many European countries, it's common to wear outfits multiple times before laundering unless visibly soiled or smelly.
But I feel like as Americans, we pick and choose, right? Like shirts, you're not going to reuse. Yeah. Maybe you're going to the gym, you'll throw a t-shirt back on. But I don't wash my jeans after every time I wear them.
No.
And same with like my shorts in the summer. Like you wash them, but not every time. But again, t-shirts, though, it's like, I couldn't dare wear this again.
Exactly.
You're right. I'm exact same way, man. T-shirts, like going in the laundry, whether they need to or not. But pants, like,
T-shirts, socks, underwear.
Yeah.
Directly in the laundry. But for some reason, pants, you're like,
that's fine. You can get dirty.
Yeah, whatever. And then this is your final global hygiene practice that Americans might find hard to believe, and we just talked about it. Infrequent showering. Daily showers are not the norm in many parts of Europe and Asia. Some people view them as excessive and wasteful, preferring to shower every few days or as needed.
Well, a lot of that's advertising here in the States. And so, look, soap companies, they push the hygiene angle. Sure. Of it, right? And then there was different scented soaps. And since they did this big push, it's just ingrained in us that that's the hygienic thing to do. The rest of the world's like, it's not. And it doesn't matter, but you don't need to.
Even if you don't wash yourself, I like getting in the water to wake up.
Yes.
In the morning.
That's just feeling
better. Like, when I get out of the shower, I always feel better than when I got in.
Agreed.
So even if you don't use that crap.
Turns out I wasn't the only one having issues with air travel this week, Miles.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'll tell you all about it at 5:50.
Thank you, sir. Headlines are coming up at 5:50. In the meantime, let's get a contestant on the line for Profile This at 206-803-ROCK. All right, if we made it to drinking time.